It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
David Bowes in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. Fastest 15 is all about the slowest Supreme Court nomination. Yes, it's going to be delayed another week, it looks like, or I should say up to a week. I think they're going to probably just call it a week. But the request from Senator Jeff Flake for a background check is going from the, not background check, but a supplemental, an extended investigation from the FBI into the allegations of sexual assault by Dr. Ford, as well as the others that are currently on the table, is going to take place over the course of the next week or so. And then the vote will take place. And it looks like the request of Senator Flake is going to be agreed upon, and the Republicans will delay that. Now, my understanding is they'll have a procedural vote ahead of time, and that's kind of weird because Senate has all these kinds of, all these rules. And Senate has all these rules, and one of the rules is, you know, they have a vote in order to hold the vote. So they'll probably have that vote first, the vote to hold the vote, and then the actual vote will be delayed a week. So for those of us that are not interested in parliamentary procedure, it just gets kind of confusing and weird, but that's what will be going on there.
So I just got a bulletin from the Associated Press. It says the Judiciary Committee says it will ask President Trump for the FBI investigation of Kavanaugh, and it wants it completed by October 5th.
Yeah, and I can't imagine the Trump administration saying no, because you need the vote of Senator Flake and you need the vote of some of the others.
Well, and if you heard President Trump this morning, I mean, he actually sounded like he was open to the idea, and he said, I'm going to keep it with the Judiciary Committee.
Yes. In fact, Trump sounded pretty confident.
Just hearing a little bit about it, because I've been with the president of Chile and we're talking about some very important subjects. But I'm sure it will all be very good. I guess the vote was a positive vote, but there seems to be a delay. I'll learn more about it as the day goes on. I just heard about it because we were together.
So he's going to be learning about that. And I think what he really I mean, there's some basic math that you have to learn about, which is you need to get the majority of votes. You have a number of people saying, OK, even Lindsey Graham, who delivered an impassioned defense of Kavanaugh yesterday, saying, OK, if this makes Senator Flake feel better, if he thinks the FBI might be able to find something, let's do that. And so that's what's going to happen.
Well, I don't even think it's just Senator Flake. I mean, Senator Flake was getting all sorts of pressure. You saw what happened this morning with the two women as he's going up in an elevator. Two women who were sex abuse survivors were just, you know, crying, pleading with him. I mean, he spent a lot of time looking and listening. And then in the minutes leading up to him asking for the delay, I know that he had talked to Senator, is it Senator Coon?
Yeah, Democrat Senator Coon.
Yeah, exactly, who was a good friend of his. And I mean, he was just, I mean, you could see that he was pained.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of tough decisions that have to be made, and you're dealing with a tough issue because, one, if Kavanaugh's totally innocent, you don't want to destroy a man's credibility and ignore a long historic career of excellence on that. On the other, you also don't want to be callous and disregard what are potentially devastating allegations, and you don't want to ignore the claims of Dr. Ford either. So it's going to be tough. Let's listen in to the women who were yelling at Flake in the elevator.
I was sexually assaulted and nobody believed me. I didn't tell anyone, and you're telling all women that they don't matter, that they should just stay quiet, because if they tell you what happened to them, you're going to ignore them. That's what happened to me, and that's what you're telling all women in America.
See, I have a problem with that line. That, I mean, it's been one of the Democrat talking points of late on this, and that is people might be able to interpret who is more believable differently. And then there's other evidence that's more objective, like you have the three people that were named that were supposed to be at the party. They've all signed things that say that they can't corroborate what she said.
Yeah, they didn't say that it didn't happen. They just say
they can't.
We can't. But well, one of them, in fact, says, but I believe Dr. Ford.
Yeah. Judge says it didn't happen. Her friend says, I can't corroborate any of that, but I believe her, which is different from corroborating. But in terms of any evidence to back up the allegation against Kavanaugh, it's not there. But there is evidence that the failure to corroborate and the others who were actually at the event saying, I have no knowledge of this event taking place, and judge saying it didn't take place, that's in Kavanaugh's favor. So, but Set that to the side for a moment.
Okay.
When they're saying to Flake that this applies to all women everywhere. I had this experience, and you're telling all women that they should be silent, that they're not going to be heard, and the rest. I think that's a dangerous argument to make, because for people who are trying to deliberate and come to a conclusion about a specific circumstance, which is what this hearing is, and remember, senators have been going through background on Kavanaugh for the past, 90 days or so, a lot of different information that is in this context. For people to say that the conclusion they come to about this applies to all women everywhere is not fair to all women everywhere.
Yes.
It's not fair to the people, because it shuts down deliberation. You know, if you're saying you have to go 100% for Dr. Ford or you hate all women everywhere, it crushes all deliberation, and it means you can't actually think about this issue for yourself.
And I think there's a danger in saying all or none or just doing blanket statements. I will say that I think those women, I mean, you can chalk aside those women and say, oh, they were just being hysterical or whatever. But I will say that there are many, many, many women and men who feel like those women were representing how they feel. And that there is no reason to rush through this. And you can we can relitigate. And I mean, but what is the harm in doing? I applaud Senator Flake. That's not an easy decision to make. But what harm is there in delaying it for a week?
Yeah, I mean,
up to a week.
There's some procedural things, but for all said and done, at this point, for a number of people, particularly people in that circumstance, that feel like, hey, I don't believe that this has been rushed. I don't believe that there's been this short shrift given to these allegations or other things. However, I don't think that the delay of this week with the investigation focused on a specific allegation or the three specific allegations, I don't think that further harm comes. The harm of delay, so to speak, has already occurred, and now people have questions, and I think it's important for the sake of the country and for people who might not follow this issue as closely to have the confidence that people are taking a close and full look at the situation.
And you know who should be happy, in all honesty? You know, especially if this investigation takes place, given it is short and limited in scope, but Judge Kavanaugh, if it comes back and you know what, we still cannot corroborate anything, then Judge Kavanaugh will be nominated. I mean, it will be confirmed, and he doesn't have – I think the cloud will be lessened. I think there will always be people who don't believe it.
Right.
But no, he didn't stop the investigation.
I agree with you there.
I mean, the president or the Republicans did not stop this investigation from happening.
I agree with you there. I found myself resentful toward Senator Feinstein today when she was lamenting – the rush and the failure to do certain things, just because I know she sat on this stuff for so long,
and I thought that was a bogus explanation. Yeah, and no one's ever going to agree on that.
Right. Again, I think there's good reasons not to agree on that. But when it comes to this particular case, I think it is important to not say if someone reaches a different conclusion from me, they're reaching that same conclusion for all other people everywhere. The other thing that jumps out is for a lot of people, based on your newscast, where people are calling into sexual assault centers,
140% up.
Yeah,
and it is 24 hours.
And it is true that many people, I mean, vastly more women than men, because that's the nature of the assault for the most part, will say, "Hey, look, these events happened to me. They were traumatizing, and I felt silent, and I felt like no one would believe me." And that's a big challenge. So you want to encourage people to speak out and to speak out as quickly as possible after the event, so that if there is evidence of a crime, I'm not talking about Kavanaugh. I'm talking about the rest of society here. So the rest of society there's a lot of people that relate to the Kavanaugh thing, the entire hearing, and they say, okay, well, something similar happened to me. I was at a party. Someone, in some cases I've read, they say that somebody drugged me or somebody has done. I talked to some parents several years ago whose daughter was drugged at a party and she was assaulted by a number of very prominent people. And there was some evidence in their favor, and they went through a lot of trauma. And so for a number of people, they're going to say, hey, look, I'm relating to this particular thing, this story, in this way, That doesn't mean that the Kavanaugh applies to their situation, but it's important that they feel like the Senate and the government, the government wants to hear those cases, wants people to speak out, wants them to step forward, and encourages them to step forward as soon as possible so that if a crime is committed, evidence can be gathered and people can be punished to do that kind of thing.
But I will say that, okay, and as you know, a couple of days ago, I shared something very personal to me.
Right.
And I don't even want to make it like what happened to me was even a shade of what so many other women and men have faced. But, you know, all this talk did kind of prompt me, you know, just on the spur of the moment to share something.
Yeah.
But I don't since that happened, I have been bombarded. I mean, I shared something also on Facebook because I wanted to explain it a little more. And I have been getting emails and texts nonstop since then. And I've been trying to answer everybody.
Yeah.
But people just say, you know what? I wish I could say something. I'm just not ready. So just, I mean, I totally get what you're saying, but not everybody's ready right now to share.
As I've shared before, I've had some people that I care for, women who've stepped forward to me, shared stories of abuse, and I've urged them to share that further, but it's
at
just
their own
just,
time.
Yeah, and they said it's too much. I don't ever want to deal with it again. That wouldn't do any good. Yeah. That kind of thing.
But I think just what happened today, and I'll be honest. I know that there are a lot of people who are breathing a bit of a sigh of relief, saying, "You know what? Maybe some people did hear."
Yeah, and I don't.
And even if it doesn't have a change in the outcome, it's like there's a slight pause.
Yeah, and I'd also urge people to think it just because if people, when you say change of outcome, if he gets if Kavanaugh gets confirmed, that doesn't mean people don't care about sexual assault.
Right.
It doesn't mean that they don't want people to come forward. It means that they didn't believe Dr. Ford's case was corroborated. They didn't believe that there was enough to dissuade them from the rest of Kavanaugh's history. So they weren't convinced that she's correct about Kavanaugh himself. So I think it's important to separate those two things and keep those separate. All right, let's get to story number two.
Actually, we have to take a CBS update here.
I forgot about that.
Seconds.
Yeah, we got about a minute to go.
So
we got about a minute to go.
So be careful.
Well, let me say this then. Since CNN was saying that they think the elevator yelling was maybe the point at which it changed Flake's mind, it might have been because of protest. I don't know who the women were. I don't know if they've tracked them down to find out more about their stories. But I think that was the kind of – I think, as you put it, Ursula, from getting all the text and email and social media feedback, I'm sure the Senate is getting the same. I think that's – I don't think the elevator changed his mind. I think it might have just been further evidence along that path to say, you know what, if it won't hurt anything – but it might help something. Why on earth would I not call for this? So let's just get it done. The FBI can look into it. And if there's no more corroboration, it's good for Kavanaugh.
CBS News Special Report. While Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court was voted out of committee today, the Senate is pumping the brakes a bit on a full floor confirmation vote, thanks to Republican Senator Jeff Flake.
I think it would be proper to delay the floor vote for up to but not more than 1 week.
To allow for an FBI investigation into current allegations of sexual misconduct against Kavanaugh, GOP committee members have gone along with the request and will ask the White House for such an investigation. Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal says he thinks Kavanaugh would welcome the developments.
A person who is innocent would want the FBI to investigate their claims and clear their name.
So far, no reaction from Kavanaugh, and while the White House has not said if it would order such an investigation, CBS News has learned that the White House was part of the discussion this afternoon with the Senate in coming up with this deal. CBS News Special Report. I'm Bill Rakoff.
David Bowes in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. We'll have the latest on the ongoing confirmation drama here with breaking news updates throughout the hour here on 97.3 Cairo FM. Now, state investigators are cracking down on underage drinking, pot smoking, drugging. Well, maybe all those things, but no, the crackdown of this story from Cairo Television is that state investigators are cracking down on e-nicotine and vaping, sending investigators out to find out who is selling vaping products to underage kids. They say kids vaping is so common amongst the underage crowd that it's like having a keychain Everybody's got a vape or not. And they're trying to figure out how to stop it. And I was actually on a government site recently looking for a friend who was looking for some work. And I saw some of the jobs posted were, you know, for undercover teens, like from 17 to 19 to go, or 17 to 18 to go and do this kind of thing. And I thought, is that as big of a problem as I mean, it just seems to me what we need to do is just send some people with popcorn lung over to some schools and say, hey, kids, you know, remember when you didn't want to smoke because you end up with emphysema and cancer and stuff? Same thing with vaping, right?
I agree. I think it's just about education. And yeah, I think that this is kind of, I don't know, this just makes them do it more secretively.
I don't know. There's got to be something. And the stores that are selling it, there's got to be an easier way to find out if, rather than hiring people and doing the whole, I mean, or at least I want it to be, a two for one. Like, go in there and get alcohol and vaping.
I do think this one's a tougher case to make, because these things, I mean, there's a couple guys here that vape and it smells like bubble gum and cotton candy. And
right.
I don't know, you can get kids to not smoke because it tastes gross, or it smells gross, but it smells
all right.
good.
So Nicole's come up with an idea. All vaping has to taste like poop.
Tastes
right?
Gross.
So, you know, just make manure vaping available and that's it. You can crack down. Yeah.
It just seems like a weird thing to focus on.
Well, but you bring
that's
that.
When I saw it, I was like, what? This is what we're spending our time on right now.
You bring up a decent point, though, which is that for cigarettes and stuff, there's all kinds of rules of how they can market the product, and they can't market the product a certain way. And now they're saying, you know, if you've got the bubblegum flavor and the cinnamon flavor, the banana flavor, and all these kind of flavors that are designed to attract, well, both adults and potentially kids, then why can they do that? But then you look at Disneyland or Disney Springs, I think it is, that where they're putting out alcohol popsicles that are tasting like margaritas and pina coladas and other things, and the adults are loving them. You know, if we're going to crack down on the vapors for having flavors that everybody likes, including kids, what about those who are having alcohol that's frozen that, you know, you
True.
Can lick
I
on a popsicle?
Do. Next time I'm at Disneyland, I will definitely be going to get a popsicle.
I have made those myself before, and they are delicious.
They are.
Good stuff. You know, so I don't know. I feel like in the grand scheme of things, when I drive through town and I'm seeing young people drugged out of their minds in the freeway medians, I feel like we could take a break from spending money on vaping crackdown and instead focus on the crack or meth crackdown. That's just me. David Bowes in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. David Bowes in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. We'll, of course, have updates as they come in for the Kavanaugh hearing and the latest. Whatever happens, we'll have it here. But I thought we'd continue with something that was, say, a little less dramatic, even though, ironically, we're talking about a CBS sitcom slash kind of micro drama, and that is Murphy Brown. Murphy Brown back in action. Roseanne, you know, took off to spectacular ratings and then plummeted spectacularly thanks to the idiocy of the star's social media presence. And now Murphy Brown is back. I don't think Candace Bergen is in the same kind of danger of self-imploding like Roseanne was. But Murphy Brown had a special guest appearance for the season opener. So this is a spoiler alert for those of you who have decided to record it on your digital recorder. I'm convinced none of you have, because I'm guessing the target demo is,
I did,
you know, over a certain age. I mean, except for Nicole. Except,
and Ursula.
And Ursula.
Hello.
Well, you know. All right. So Murphy Brown, special guest appearance.
I'm here to interview for the secretarial position.
Hillary?
Yes, Hillary. Hillary Clinton.
My God, you look just like...
I know, Hillary Clinton. I get that a lot, but my name is spelled with one L.
Well, okay, Hillary, with one L, please sit down. I guess you've heard this is a pretty demanding job.
I have. Your reputation precedes you, but I want you to know I am not afraid of hard work. I'm qualified and ready on day one.
And I also assume you've had previous secretarial experience?
Absolutely. For 4 years, I was a secretary of a very large organization.
And you have all the requisite skills, computer, email.
Emails. I do have some experience with emails.
How are you at teamwork? You know, putting on a news program is a huge operation.
Oh, I get that completely. Everyone works together. It takes a village.
Well, you are very impressive, maybe a little overqualified. How about I take some time to think it over and give you a call?
Well, it was a pleasure meeting you. I'll be expecting your call. And here, let me give you my card. Thank you.
Thank you. Hillary@youcouldahadme.com.
All right, so Ursula thought it was funny. I'm sitting here thinking, is there a single joke writer in the house? It's all so cheesily bad.
It's
so horrible.
Not, well, I think maybe not great acting. It wasn't the most convincing whatever.
Yeah, well, that's kind of stunt casting. Every time there's a cameo, you always kind of cringe.
Terrible.
For whoever it is.
I love Candace Bergen. I mean, I think she's funny.
I can see
Did
that.
Did you know that she went out on a date with Trump?
What?
I True heard. Story. I know. Wow. I think a lot of people went on a date with Trump.
Well, that's interesting.
I just blew your
mind.
A lot of
things I want to say, but I'm not going to say any of them because, you know, I'm a careful guy. So, but I'll say this. For Hillary Clinton, I thought it was strange to joke about the email thing because I get coming on the show and doing cameo, you know, kind of like could have had me. That's kind of funny. But the email thing, it's like, well, that was a big national security stupid thing to do, and it probably cost you the election and everything else. And you let down tons of, you know, supporters and people. Not to mention there was an actual, you know, there's an actual investigation where people got immunity because of your stupidity there.
It was self-deprecating, like not, though. I mean, it was kind of making fun at herself. That's
yeah, I would
what
make fun of
funny.
Yourself at other things, but not yeah. stuff like that.
When
like,
you can't cry, laugh, I it, guess.
Yeah,
or,
I
so know. You don't cry.
I mean, they could have followed it up with a joke about, you know, various foreign powers getting hold of emails. But, I mean, that wouldn't be as funny, I guess. It's just there are some things that I would joke about and then other things I thought she could have eliminated that and said everything else would have been just as funny. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think the show did well last night or when it aired, and I don't think it's gonna. I think
I didn't
be
even
a,
watch it.
Yeah,
yeah
it'll be
I
a tune in
it.
For the first one if you tune in at
there's,
all.
There's a sign. Ursula says, "I love Candace Bergen. She's very funny. I didn't watch it. Didn't tune in at all.
No,
you know, it's a bad
not,
sign
not,
right there.
I'm not big on the reboots.
The reboot.
Yeah, I mean, I gave Roseanne and I know that you were thinking it was really funny, and I did too. Like the first two.
Well, I think the difference was it hadn't changed very much. They were still the same family and like everything was going at the same. This too much has changed.
Yeah.
It's not the same show. They didn't have email when that show was first on. So it's not the same show. So you can't just reboot it.
Well, and some things are a show of their time. And, you know, that was kind of a big kind of 80s kind of show.
Yeah.
Right. It just doesn't seem to have the same click. Whereas Roseanne, you know, blue collar is back on the horizon again, where people are focused on it. That makes sense.
Well, and with Roseanne too, it was like, hey, I mean, this is someone who actually is a supporter of President Trump, and it was kind of something that you wouldn't expect, which was made it novel.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
right?
Because character.
Yeah,
the character was a supporter of Trump, mm-hmm. And then you have like Magnum that is being remade, Magnum PI without Tom Selleck. That's kind of tough. I figure if James Bond can have multiple James Bond, you can have multiple Magnums. But I've only seen the commercial. I haven't tuned into it yet. And I really wanted to like it and wanted to see it. And I like the fact that they went with a reboot rather than first it was supposed to be the daughter of Magnum, which made no sense to me at all. That's just like son of King Kong a territory. But I saw Magnum like jumping from the Ferrari and then like hitting the windshield of a car to attack the bad guy. And I thought, you're going at about 70 miles an hour. I don't care if you jumped out of your car or not. You're like a bug on a windshield, right? I mean, he's going to have cracked ribs. I need plausible.
Right.
I need to suspend my disbelief, but not be out of it.
Exactly.
Where I think that's not going to happen.
Exactly. The other thing is, have they just stopped coming up with new ideas? Have they run out?
Oh, my gosh. Like, are you not aware
sure
of Jurassic?
Seems like that.
Jurassic Park 7 is coming.
I know.
You know? I mean, and how many people are going to keep going back to that stupid park? You know?
They're even doing, I think, Toy Story 4.
Toy Story 4 is
okay,
coming.
Okay, that one I might watch.
Yeah,
I might watch that one.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably will.
And this is why Hollywood keeps doing it, because every time we say, I'm sick of this lack of ideas, well, I'm not going to that movie unless I've seen the first one, you know. We even had Sicario 2, and I thought that was just a one-off. But, you know, it's a good movie. Just digitally rented Sicario 2. So, all right, got to take a break. Even though we never got to Tim Allen and his kind of revamping of Last Man Standing. That's
tune
the fastest reboot ever.
Tune into Awesome Audio.
Yeah, we'll save that, baby. You can text us about anything through the Online Trading Academy text line at 98973. That's 98973. Text us your comments here for the Dory Monson Show. David Bowe's filling in. David goes in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. President Trump was asked if he had a message for the senators.
They have to do what they think is right. There's no message whatsoever. They have to do what they think is right. They have to be comfortable with themselves, and I'm sure that's what they are.
Would you be willing to reopen the background investigation into Kavanaugh?
I'm going to rely on all of the people, including Senator Grassley, who's doing a very good job. That'll be a decision that they're going to make, and I suspect they'll be making some decision soon.
So if you couldn't hear what the reporter's question was in the background there, she said, are you willing to reopen the background investigation on Kavanaugh? And he said, that's up to Grassley. Well, about 20 minutes ago, the Senate Judiciary Committee was reported to have requested from President Trump that he reopen that background investigation for these allegations. And that has now happened. We're getting word that President Trump has told the FBI that they can that he would like them to look into the assault allegation from Dr. Ford, amongst other things. So we're going to get an update on that from CBS News here in about 30 seconds. But it's interesting because Trump said it was up to them. I didn't note that the first time around, but he said it's up to the senators, which was fairly deferential, unlike the usual Trump item. But that one, I guess we should have taken him seriously. He's just saying, look, depends what they want. They've asked for it. The White House issued a fairly quick response. Flake saying FBI report could change his mind on Kavanaugh, but I suppose that could go either way. Here's CBS News.
CBS News special report, the Senate will delay for a week the confirmation vote for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh.
The Senate Judiciary Committee announcing essentially on behalf of the entire Senate that they will request of the White House what they're calling a supplemental FBI background investigation with respect to the Kavanaugh nomination. The statement that they issued a few moments ago says this supplemental background check would be limited to current credible allegations against the nominee and must be completed no later than 1 week from today.
CBS's Ed O'Keefe. This all comes after the vote to move the Kavanaugh nomination out of the Senate Judiciary Committee. So what does the committee mean by current credible allegations?
Current credible allegations in the eyes of the Republican-controlled committee at this point is essentially only those from Dr. Ford that were presented on Thursday during the hearing. So nothing from Michael Avenatti's client, nothing of those other anonymous, unnamed allegations that have come in, just the Ford allegations.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Bill Rakoff.
David Bowes here for Dory Monson on 97.3 Cairo FM. As you heard, the investigation, FBI investigation into Kavanaugh will continue. In other political news, and this is amazing because this was supposed to be a big deal. Remember, a while back, President Trump said he wasn't going to sign any extension on the budget that didn't include funding for the wall. Apparently, he's signed an extension on the budget that does not include funding for the wall. And yet nobody cares because right now all eyes that are focused on D.C. are focused on the drama surrounding the nomination for the United States Supreme Court. So the FBI will investigate. They will speak with all of the individuals involved. And I say they will speak with. They've probably spoken with most of them before, if not all of them before. But this time they'll be looking specifically at the allegation from Dr. Ford. Because there's been multiple background checks in the past already. Kavanaugh had endured six previously. And so they'll look to try to see if there's any corroborating evidence or anything that would give them pause about Judge Kavanaugh based on the allegations made against him by Dr. Ford. So will that change anyone's mind? Will people be willing to take a look at that and say if the FBI investigation, say, gives more benefit to Kavanaugh, will some Democrats come his direction? I don't know. But I do know that if it went the other way, if the FBI investigation ended up revealing more evidence or any corroborative evidence in favor of Dr. Ford's or supporting Dr. Ford's allegations, I would expect the people on the fence and maybe some others to drift away. So it's a high stakes week for Kavanaugh, high stakes week for the Trump nomination. But the important thing is, I think, the truth. I mean, you know, sometimes you got to let the chips fall where they may. If you have an investigation and you want to make sure that justice is done one way or the other. Now, I've said before, and I'll say it again, it seems to me that what's happened here with Kavanaugh, there's been a lot of timing issues going on. I know Senator Feinstein claimed, well, you know, there was a report that leaked out, but I feel like, well, you and your staff had the information. Leaks are famous in D.C. when you want them, and they occur as you want them. I think, you know, you can watch a show like Yes, Prime Minister or something, and they make jokes about this kind of operation all the time. So I don't think that she got herself off the hook. She was delaying on this and creating politics out of it, among other things. Big week for Kavanaugh, big week for Trump. We got more coming up. David Bowes in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM.